Lessons from the Lave, Parshas Balak, hopefully we will learn a message that you'll take with you for the rest of your life. Today's message is listen to your messages. Listen to when Hashem is talking to you. And I think that is an ikar point to the falling of our friend Bilam. Bilam is not a friend, but Bilam is a very interesting character in the sense of that Bilam, the story in itself seems like really just an amazing Hollywood scripted story, right? You got this guy that we know, we say, Lo kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe od, nobody ever got up like Moshe Rabbeinu, but there was Bilam, he was also a Navi. And it's kind of a funny thing because he seems to be a buffoon, right? Here we have in the beginning where he is on his little donkey, and this is obviously where Shrek got their. The Torah should sue that movie, and Hashem opens the mouth of the donkey, says the pasuk. Vayiftach Hashem is pia osoin. But Tomar Bilam, we learned this is one of the things Pirkei Avos was built, if you will, was invented. Ben Hashmashas and Shabbos of Maisa of Shabbos and Mei Brishus. But Yiftach Hashem is Piyosan. But Tomer LeBilam Ma Sisulacha. What did you do? Stop hitting me. But Yom LeBilam LaAsan. So he gets it, and then the pasuk of course says what? But Yigdal Hashem BeEinav Bilam VaYar. Hashem uncovered Bilam's eyes. What does it mean he uncovered his eyes? He wanted him to get a message here. And then we have the whole thing with the Malach. Vayomer lo Malach Hashem. What are you doing? I could have killed you. I got a sword in front of you. I was about to kill you. Why didn't Bilam, who we're told, the Gemara in Bracho says, I think Daf Zion, that Bilam had Das Elyon. Bilam had Das Elyon. He had some superpower. Right? So one could ask, what do you mean he had some superpower? This guy appeared to be so unintelligent. He had Das Elyon? What?
That was a superpower.
His superpower should have been that when an animal talks to you, there's something strange about that. Right? They didn't have cartoons in those days. So why? If he had Das Elyon, he understood. So Das Elyon, we could explain the Gemara that he knew the exact precise moment. Rabbeinu Sholom had Midas HaDin. And that's why he almost was successful in what he tried to do. But if he was such a smart person, why didn't he hear the message from God? Hey, dude, don't go on this message. It's not going to end well. Right? And every time he tries to curse him, you know the story. So the Malbim says something fascinating and amazing. And it says that his failing was he failed to hear the message of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Malbim says that is where he went wrong, is that Hashem was talking to him and talking to him Shlosh Regalim, and he didn't listen to this obvious message in front of his face. I mean, come on. There's a story told. Now it's story time. There's a story told about the beautiful and amazing Sefer called the Chavos Yair. This is a fun game we can play one day if you want, of how Svarim got their names. We can play another game and we can go through like Shir HaShirim, for example, or you can go through a Koheles and see different Svarim's names. That's where they got the names from. So the Chavos Yair is called the Chavos Yair Mustama because the author of its name from the 16th century of Yair Barach, who wrote that. Nobody probably ever heard that. You probably heard of the Chavos Yair. Bachrach. Why is this called the Chavos Yair? So the reason why it was called the Chavos Yair, as the story goes, although I don't know the validity exactly, I'll tell you why in a moment, and that is the following. The Chavos Yair was in a conundrum. His conundrum was the following. He was brought up by his grandmother, if I'm not mistaken. His grandmother brought him up. And one of the greatest, I would imagine, simchas, is when you see that your kid is on the right path of Torah mitzvahs and doing the right thing. And what better way to see that than writing your first sefer? So you wrote another sefer as well, the Makor Chayim. Wouldn't that be an amazing, amazing accomplishment? But you know what would be even more of an accomplishment? And I'm sure you've seen this before. I don't know if you ever do this. I actually like to do this in Svarim. I like to read the actual foreword, right? To see if I'm, try to see maybe they thanked me. So, never had it yet. So, Chavos Yari says, I don't just want to write in my introduction thanking my grandmother, whose name was Chava. I want to name my sefer for her. That's a little strange. You know, who names a sefer after that? So, this is going to be of a challenge. So the story goes, this is why I'll tell you why in a moment, I'm not sure about it, but is that Rav Yari Bachrach goes into shul one day and there's no Kohanim. He's a Yisrael. So he gets Sheni. He gets what normally would be Levi. And the reading of the Torah, they read a Pasuk, and the Pasuk is a Pasuk of Chavos Yair. Now, the reason why I think this is weird is because I'm not certainly at all an expert, and I don't have here many Svarim, but I know that the word Chavos Yair is in Parshas Maaseh, that we'll read in a few weeks, which is in the, I think even the last Aliyah. So maybe it's way before that, I just don't know. Anyway, it's in Levi somewhere, it speaks about Chavos Yair, and there, Chavos Yair! He says, oh my God, Chava, Yair, that's my name. I'll name the Sefer Chavos Yair. What's my point? Is that he understood the message. Right? There is an Inyan. I just heard a shiur from Yitzhak Zilberstein in the 20 hours that I had to drive yesterday. So I heard a great shiur from Zilberstein. And he discussed this exact Inyan. That Kriya Satorah, when you get an Aliyah, so it's Hashem talking to you. Right? That great rabbis have told us, our sages, that that's one of the beautiful points of Kriyas HaTorah. Especially, right, the guy says, wait a minute, why did I get Shani? I'm not a Levi. There's got to be something here. Right? So he tells a story about a guy that goes to the Kotel and is having questions about if the woman that he is going out with now is the right woman for him. And he goes to the Kotel. And surprisingly, one of the things that never, I don't think has ever happened to me, he gets an Aliyah. That's funny, we have this chutz, although over the last months of terror in Eretz Yisrael, we didn't go as much, but we used to go. Once a month, we go for Vasikin. We have a bunch of friends that go. So at this minyan, it's really funny, when it's Rosh Chodesh, turns out to be Friday, so they don't take out only one Torah, they take out four Sifrei Torah, so that all the hawkers in the minyan can get an Aliyah. We always thought it was funny. We're not a hawker, we never get an Aliyah. So now he gets an Aliyah at the Kotel, this guy. And the Pasuk that he's reading talked to him. He meant something to him because the Pasuk speaks about, being married, something like that. Something about a marriage in the Torah. So that was his message he got. So this reminds me of the following funny story, in my opinion. As you can imagine, Yeshiva Leva Torah doesn't allow me to speak a lot publicly. And one time when they made that mistake, one of the rabbis was away on a trip in America. So they asked me to give the Thursday night, primetime live. This is the big thing. Primetime shiur. And so I was telling the following story. Doesn't matter what it was related to in the parasha, things like that. Tell a story about a guy, same type of story, he's not sure or not if the shidduch is shayach for him. He's been going out with this girl for a while, he thinks things are going well, but he doesn't feel it. So he doesn't know. So he goes up and he starts davening to the Rabbona Shalom, and he says, Hashem, please, I'm begging you, I've never asked you this in my entire life, send me a message, send me something that the Rabbona Shalom will be talking to me. Please, Hashem, talk to me that I'll know that this girl is right for me, is righteous. Please, I'm begging you, I never ask you for anything. And he's pouring his heart out of the Kotel. And it's a day like this, a little bit windy. And all of a sudden, as he pushes back from the Kotel, he sees, literally coming down, looks like a piece of a sitter from the Shemayim. Maybe not from the Shemayim. Some guy was davening, and his picture, his page fell off. And almost unrelated, he thinks, he goes to kiss the thing that now fell on the floor, and he picks it up, and it's a part of the siddur that we put on our tefillin. And there he looks at the pasuk, right? Verstichli olam, verstichli tzedekim. We are married, and he's so jumping for joy, and it's so unbelievable. And he says, "Wow, the Rebbeinu Shlomo spoke to me. I get his message, you know." And now I'm giving this shiur, and it's on Y.U. Torah, and some person, I'm being nice, in the back raises his hand. And I'm like, "There's no questions. I'm in the middle of something. I'm really." And he says, "But what happened, Rabbi? What happened? Obviously, the story is a good story." I said, "So I got married to my wife. That's the end of the story." No. So I said, what do you mean? So this guy said, "What do you mean? That was a message to him that he should marry her." What are you talking about? He says, "The pasuk says, 'Veristich lili olam.' You should be married to the Ribono Shel Olam. Then you should go back to Kollel and sit and learn, and you'll get married later. That's what the pasuk meant, Rebbe." And then I stopped and I said, "Wow." I said, "Here we got another message. Right? Can you imagine if the guy at the Kotel actually said that? You can get a message from the Ribono Shel Olam and actually see it in two different ways." Well, you know, we've said this, I'm sure you've heard this funny thing many times. You know, the guy that's looking for the parking space. And he looks up to the Ribono Shel Olam and he says, "God, I have an interview at Tel Aviv. I'm such an idiot. I didn't calculate it right. I can't find the spot. If I don't make it on time, I'll never get the job. Hashem, please, I'm begging you. If you do this, that's it. I'm going to be frum now. Tefillin, talis, the whole ganze kashef. I'm going to do it. Please, I'm just asking you for a spot." As he finishes those words, a guy pulls out of his spot, which never happens in Tel Aviv. And he looks up to Hashem, and what does he say? He says, "Forget it, Hashem. I found the spot. I'm good." So, but we don't get the messages. We don't read them. And that's exactly what the point is over here. Bilam was given a message from Hashem. Hashem had to actually physically like open his eyes. In fact, it's kind of funny, right? Because I'm sure you know that Bilam, the word Ayin Hara comes from Bilam. Right? Because he had one eye. Either had an eye that didn't function, or maybe an eye over here, I don't know. But Ayin Hara means he always saw things one way. Right? And this is actually something that we suffer from sometimes. And Ayin Hara, right, it's not called Einayim Hara, Haraim. There's this one evil eye. I'm sure you've seen, you know, the Kabbalistic pictures of just that one eye. The concept is that when you have an Ayin Hara, you look at things with one eye. We have two eyes for a reason. Right? There's an idea that's why we're given two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, right? It is to take the good and to take the bad. But you got to look at things differently, right? You have to have an Ayin Tov, and sometimes you have to have Ayin Ra, but sometimes, you know, we got to look at things the right way. So that's a very, very important message. And Bilam didn't see it. And we certainly can discount this to who he was and say, okay, you know. But the question is that, does that happen to us? Are we the same type of people? Do we not hear the messages that the Ribono Shel Olam is constantly sending us? Now, there is an extreme to this where somebody's so paranoid, they'll say, "Oh, Hashem's sending me a message," right? And they'll jump to the wrong conclusions. One of my pet peeves, I don't know if we'll have time this week of doing an Indian of the Week, but one of my pet peeves is that whenever something is going wrong in somebody's lives, they move to the external to correct. And that external generally is the mezuzahs or the tefillin. I'm having a bad something, this is going on in my house, check the mezuzahs. So my line is always, check yourself. Don't check your mezuzahs. Check your mitzvahs. Hashem gives us messages. If something bad is going on in our lives, we are told. Chazal tell us, it's Hashem sending us a direct message. He's telling us something direct. The message is, hey, you, wake up, teshuva. There's something wrong. There's something going on. Hashem doesn't just stam do things. And you know what? I have something extreme to tell you, and this is not my saying. Rav Dessler writes about this and others. When something's going on in the world, Hashem's also talking to you. Okay? If there's a typhoon in Mozambique, or Rahman al-Islam, there's dozens of people killed in Nice, or in Turkey, or in Germany, the Ribono Shel Olam is talking to you. We say, well, I don't even live in Nice. I don't know where Nice is. I don't even like Turkey. He's talking to you. He's sending you a message. Sometimes Hashem loves us so much that He wants us to do tshuva. He wants us to get a message. Right? And again, we should understand that we are not geniuses and we don't know the direct relationships. Well, this happened because of this. You know, one of my Nebuch stories, when you go to a shiva house, right? I want to write that safer shiva house etiquette of the do's and don'ts in a shiva house. But one of the don'ts is the guy that comes up to him and says, you know why your 3-year-old son died? I'm going to tell you why. I know why. I'm going to tell you why. Oh, the idiot. You idiot. Are you serious? I've told this story before, maybe even on in this forum. But I don't think you heard this story. Here it comes. So, unfortunately, I had a friend who, a few years after our year in Israel, he passed away. And being the lazy person I am, I wasn't sure if I should pay a shiva call or not. What am I going to add? The parents didn't know me at all. Honestly, I wasn't so friendly with the kid in Israel. And I decided to go to the shiva house. And you can imagine, he was a boy of only 20 years old that passed away. So there was a long line. I didn't really know anybody, but I decided to wait on the line to talk to the father. And mamish, the guy before me, again, I understand people are nervous. He said, you should know your son was like a powerful cloud, like a whole gansam thing. Chutzpah. And can you imagine, now I'm the next guy, and I'm like, oh, shoot. So I said, hi, you don't know me, my name is Daniel Hartson, I just want to tell you one story. And he was already, upset because this guy told him why his son died. And I just told him a story about, I remember when, I didn't have a lot of family in Israel, and he said, next time I go out for Shabbos, you're coming with me. And he took me somewhere, and he said, it made me feel so good, that's who he was. And he held me, and he said, that's the point of Shiva. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear stories. I don't want to hear why my son died. I want to hear... And we do this sometimes. We make this mistake of justifying... And we don't listen to the message the Ravon Hashem is sending us. It's like, come on. It's right there in your face. I don't understand. Now, when I tell you, do tshuva, I don't know tshuva for what, how you're going to do it. So you work on one thing. But sometimes I feel that the Ravon Hashem says, okay, listen, I like X person, right? Let's pick a name out of a hat, okay? For Musa purposes. Yoni, let's say. And I wanted to understand the importance of achdus, of togetherness, and what a quorum of 10 is. And I want them to be together. But I like him a lot. So instead of punishing for this egregious oversight on his part, when he gets out of bed tomorrow morning, I'm going to stub his toe. He's going to hit it against the bed. And he stubs his toe and he says some, British curse, let's say, that nobody understands. Oh, blah, 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 whatever. And it absolutely does nothing to him. Stubs his toe. Everybody stubs their toe. So then Hashem says, okay, let's move on. Story number two. And at 3:30 in the morning, he sends a little rat to hang out on top of his face. Because that's really going to... nothing. And this, of course, continues. Until finally he says, wait a minute. This is really weird. And he comes to Rabbi Hartstein, and of course, what does he say? Rabbi, can you please tell Ari Katz we have to check the mezuzahs in Camp Masorah? I'm having some bad things happen to me. Now, I was like, what does that have to do with anything? Now, it could be it's not minyan. It could be it's something else. I don't know. But Hashem is always talking to us. And Bilam didn't get the message, but we're not Bilam. Hashem sends us messages, and we got to live to those messages. And obviously, as always, I'm of course talking to myself as well. But as a last point, sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us opportunities, and we miss those opportunities as well. Sometimes Hashem talks to us in a different way, and you didn't do anything about it. You're walking by, and you see there's a kid crying. You see a kid sad. Now, whether you know it or not, you're role models. And it could be you just going up to him, above the shoulders, you know, say, hey, everything okay? It could literally change his life. You know the story about the guy who's about to commit suicide and somebody said hello to him. And you have no idea what messages or situations Hashem puts you in for you to be a better person. And the Musar for today is, I think, a great vort. Listen to the messages the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving you, and Amir Tz Hashem, with that, we will be able to do Avodas Hashem in the most